just want to encourage you to just remain in worship. Remain focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain focused on Him, because God is really speaking to us now. And I just want to ask, please don't go and sit if you just want to go and sit, because the next event is going to happen. But just maybe if you're tired, it's fine. But then if there are people who have words, if you want to share the word, but let's just honor the presence of God in this place. Let's focus on Jesus and what He has to say to us. Because when the King of Kings speaks, we have honor for Him. We bring all the honor and glory to God, because He is a great, mighty, powerful God. So if there's anyone with a word that you believe is from God, because He has spoken in your heart.
Good morning. When Jesus was about to perform miracles at one point, they recognized the amazing miracles, but when they recognized Him as Mary's son, they were offended because they knew Him and they didn't think much of what He was about to do. And there's a spirit of doubt there. And it goes on to say Jesus couldn't perform miracles that are only minor miracles because of the spirit of doubt. So let's recognize the call of God on people, and let's not look at them because we know them or we can know so much about them that we miss the mysteries of God that God wants to share with us through them. So let's just recognize the call of God and the people that He's decided to call.
I was just, when we were singing that last song, I just had a bit of a realization, and Brian also said now afterwards that, it is finished, it is accomplished, and we'll never know how much it costs, but I realized today that I still try to earn it. I still try to somehow be good enough to earn the salvation that God has given so freely. And I just feel that God is saying, it is finished. It has already been done. There's nothing that you can add to it. You can only come and receive it. And yeah, so I just felt to say that it is accomplished and it is enough.
I just want to agree with that. Just Brian's prayer at the end about God's goodness and who God is. And the question is, this morning, what are the untruths that we believe about God and that we believe about ourselves? And those are the things that we need to ask God to expose, so that we can believe the truth about Him and about His love.
I just felt God said that He is God over every situation in our lives and every season, and just be still and know that He is God. Take courage. He is God over everything.
I just want to share a testimony. I'm so grateful today of who Christ is in our lives. And when we sing the song that Christ is made whole or heal, I have a short story to share. When I was a kid, I was often tormented by demons and spirits, and I couldn't verbalize it or tell people. And my parents just made it off as it doesn't exist, and they couldn't physically help me. So I struggled it for many years. Only after knowing the Lord at age 22, I really got delivered of it. So my daughter has the same spiritual understanding. So the other night, like many other nights, she wakes up and then she screams and she calls for me. And she doesn't stop when I go. And when I start praying, she just screams more and she makes all her body stiff. And then JP comes and anoints her. It looks like she's manifesting. She's rolling around and screaming whenever we pray for her. And she tells me to stop praying. And then I wanted to walk out the door because I get so upset. And I just felt the Lord saying, go back. Sat on the floor. And I just prayed for her. I prayed scripture over. I prayed Psalm 23 that by still waters the Lord would lead. I prayed Philippians 4 verse 7 that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard her mind and her heart. And eventually she calmed down. But in that time, she was up and she was looking as if she can see something. And I knew she was seeing something in the spiritual. And then the next day, we were riding in the car, and she just randomly said to me, Mama, I call na Jesus to go. And she just randomly said to me, I want to be with Jesus. So I realized she had an experience. That evening I spoke to her. I said to Rebecca, what did you see last night when you were so upset? She said to me, no, there were soldiers in her room and they were hurting her. There were lots of them and they were coming to hurt her. And I said, okay, and then what happened? And then she said, Jesus came and made a hole. He fixed it. So I'm so grateful today that we can serve a God who can fix things. You know, that we can pray and God comes and manifests. I'm so grateful. I cannot tell you guys that I have the power to change what my parents couldn't change, even though they loved me and did everything that they thought they could. But the power of Jesus is, it's incredible that we have that to access through prayer.
Yesterday when Jaco and I was preparing just the children's worship, we couldn't decide on the worship song. So it was we were praying about it. It didn't work out. And even coming this morning, we couldn't decide what the children's worship song is going to be. And at the end, he said, Lisa, it's going to be Come Now's the Time to Worship. But my son is sick, so I decided I'm going to do the worship and then I'm going to go home. And I just felt compelled to come to church. And you were singing exactly the same song. And what the Lord told me now is while he's busy with you here, he's exactly busy with the same thing at the same time with the children.
Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we can just be in awe of you this morning. And we can just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have started to work and you will finish it in us, Lord. But God, this morning it really is not about us, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We just worship you, Lord. We surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. We have a... Sure, I'm just so overcome by just the presence of God. Thank you very much for just both Tinus and Brian, just for encouraging me tremendously this morning, because a lot of what you said is what I felt God was saying to me in the sermon as well. So I'm very encouraged this morning. But just we have few people who are becoming members of our church, and we are very excited to introduce them and to have them part of our church. And, you know, while I was preparing my sermon, I just realized one thing, that God is a covenant God. He wants not relationship. He wants more than relationship. He wants partnership. He wants covenant with us. And covenant is a place where I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be there wherever you go, because I'm a good God. Your Father, I just want to come before you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, surrender to your purposes, Lord. Father, thank you, God, that you love us, Lord, that you first loved us. And God, that you have a word to bring us, to make us free, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that your heart is for nobody to be in any prison, but for us to be free in Christ, Lord. And Lord, I want to bring, God, every word that will be spoken this morning, and just bring it under your rulership, Lord. And I want to ask you, God, to be present, Lord, to open hearts, to receive, that we can be healed, that we can be strong, that we can stand in what you have called us to be as believers, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I feel like I've missed something good. It's probably just people that are not here this morning. Because many people have flew this morning. I got SMSs to say I won't be able to be here. So that's probably why I'm feeling there's something more that I should have done this morning. There's no baby dedications or anything like that. So I can just continue with my sermon. Some time ago, Ross, the pastor at Durbanville, told me about a book that I must read. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spiritually, and Peter Scazzaro had written this book, and I ordered it from Kum, and I didn't get it at first, and then I only got it in the beginning about 2 months ago. So I started reading this book, and it was very slow in the beginning. But then I started realizing, but there's a lot of meat to this book. And for me, there's a lot about counseling. And Ross said to me, if you really want to counsel, this is the book that you need. But I was expecting a thick book like this, but it's actually a very thin book. There's a pastor who wrote the book, and he said he came to a point where his wife resigned out of his church because she felt that the life that he led and who he was at home wasn't what he was speaking from the pulpit. And she cannot live with a hypocrite anymore, so she's resigning his church. She's going to go to another church. So I'm going, oh. I can so identify with this man's journey and his pain. And she said, but there was something very significant that he said. He said, all believers in our walk with God will come to a wall. And this wall will, for most people, just be a place where we stop and we go back. And we cannot go through this wall. But for us to grow spiritually, we'll have to go through this wall. And a Job, for example, he hit a wall. His children died. He lost everything in one day. It wasn't any sin that he did. It was just something that happened in his life, but he had to go through this thing. David was persecuted by King Saul. He wanted to kill him. It wasn't something that he did wrong. It wasn't God's judgment, but it was a wall. It was a desert that he had to go through to get to the other side. And something that he said that what really stood out to me is that many people do not grow spiritually because we're emotionally broken. And because our hearts are broken, we cannot grow in faith in God. Because every time we come to a point where we have to forgive, it's like, why did they do this to me? And I do this. And then this book was really challenging me quite a lot. And just something else I'll fill in now as well. But this one lady that afterwards, and I'll tell you, I'll just give you the context just now, Beth Moore, she said, when we go, we all will come to fire. Fire will come our ways. But we have to make a choice to either stand in the fire or we have to go through the fire. And it's the same concept. Sometimes things will happen in our lives, but we have to make a choice if we're going to stand there and just resist it, and why is it happening to me? Or in faith, say, God, what is your will? What is your heart? What do you want to do in my life? And go through it, that I can grow through it. So Lynette and I, about 3-4 weeks ago, yeah, maybe a little bit more, we are talking about this and in our own life, our emotional hearts. We've been hurt from our parents, our grandparents, our circumstances, where we've been in school, having children that comes to school now, a lot of emotions about school is starting to surface again. And in a way, you become that little kid again, and you see things in your own child that you used to deal with, and sort of it's in the far distant past, but now suddenly it's there again, and now I've got to go like, how do I deal with it? What is the godly way to deal with all of this things that I've hidden, that I've sort of took and I buried, and I've not thought about for 20 years. And suddenly I've got it maybe a little bit more in my case than 20 years. But now I have to start thinking about things that happened in school. So we're going to a regional meeting where all the staff for Shofar East in the Western Cape, and Pastor Fred came back from LL Ministries in Franschhoek, and he shared on emotional healing. And he said, you know, for him, he's been in ministry for 40 years, and he's realized since the beginning, he's always taken shots in various ways. And every time he just sort of hide it away. And as he was talking to these people, they said to him, you show the signs of someone that's been abused. And he had to go through all of it. Now, we laughed quite a lot at him because his sense of humor. He said they were asking him what he was thinking. So what are you thinking? And he said, do that. Because I said they wanted to break me down. And then that time when it came, when I broke down, they said, oh my word, it's 10 o'clock, it's tea time. And they left him all broken and crying there, and they went to go and have their tea. But it's just his way of humoring and dealing with the situation. But he said at the end, they all had to speak, and he said, you know, I realize now how I feel. Because it takes him a while to come to that point to understand emotionally how we feel. So we're driving home, and Lynette and I went to have coffee. We went to the chocolate factory. We bought a lot of chocolate, and we were talking a lot about emotional healing. So this whole thing about emotional healing started. It's a journey that I'm on at the moment. And I spoke to Machli, and I said to her, I'm really excited with what God is showing us, because Pastor Fred said to us, for the next while, we must really focus on emotional healing to get ourselves to a point where we receive healing from God, that we can become that what God wanted us to be. And one of the examples that he gave was that there was a man who was blind, and Jesus took mud. He spit in sand, he made mud, and he put it on his eyes. And he said to him, what do you see? And he said, the people look like trees. And then he prayed for him again, and then he could see that the people were people. And what he said was, we come to a place where objects are like people, and people become like objects. And he said, so when we get hurt, and someone like Joseph was hurt by his brothers. It was his own brothers that sold him into slavery. It was his own brothers that betrayed him. It was the people the closest to him, the people with us, that hurt him the most. And he said, God had to deal with Joseph to deal with his brothers, to bring healing to his brothers. He had to overcome all that pain and betrayal and offense and unforgiveness against his brothers so that God could redeem the nation of Israel. So for me, I've been going and I'm thinking Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Maybe also what I want to say is that David, after years and years of running away, King Saul on his case, trying to attack him, trying to kill him, him having not to retaliate, came to a point where he raped Bathsheba and he killed her husband because of his heart that got hardened over the years. And what I just realized, if we don't deal with our broken hearts, our hearts will become hardened, and we'll come to a place where we do not do the things that we should do. We do things that we thought we will never do because of hearts that get hardened. And over years, you know, little children, when you tell them, come to me, they run. And when Jesus says, come to me like little children, there's no doubt in their hearts. They say, kom gee my a drukkie. They come because they trust, they love, they come. But when we get older, I don't want to give you that hug again, because the previous time I hugged you, you hurt me, and I don't want to be hurt again. And when I've been hurt by 3 or 4 people, I'd rather do this because I don't want anyone in my space again. I don't want to be hurt again. So we come to a place where we become cold, very friendly, but very cold. With the Bible school people, I said that you realize there's not a proper Afrikaans word for the word of kindness, because kindness is acts that we do. It's things that we do of kindness. But it's translated in Afrikaans as vriendelijkheid. En ons Afrikaners is baie vriendelijk. Ons staan op 'n afstand en ons is vriendelijk. En as ons vir iemand bid, nou hou ons ons hand hierso, want ons is bang vir die demons wat in ons kom. Ons doen dit. Ons bid so vir mense. Maar kindness is, Here, dankie. Ek kom in, ek engage, I touch. There's a kindness I can touch. I'm not afraid of the devil because God in me is so much greater than who God is. So there's pain in our hearts and we don't want to get hurt. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That was the heart of God, to come. And now I'm on a spree to learn more about this thing, because my counsel was always, I give someone counsel and then, I mean, that's the best counsel that I have. Be changed in Jesus' name. And then if they come back and they're still struggling, I said, why? I've given you the best counsel I have, the Word of God. So over time, I've realized that I have to become more quiet and pray more and not talk so much. But now I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, what must I do? And all the girls that I'm seeing are doing this Beth Moore course in our church, and I can see the fruit. And I wake up
at 6 o'clock, and my wife's been awake since 5 o'clock with her homework, and there's something, and we start talking a lot about what she's learning in that course, and the ladies that's with her, I can see there's something happening with them, and now they're busy with a course called Breaking Free. So I decided I'm going to watch Breaking Free. Now, if you know what Beth Moore looks like, she's a little blonde-haired lady, and she speaks to the ladies, and now she goes, and girlfriend. And I'm sitting there with tears running down my ears. I haven't shaved for years, or for 3-4 days. I'm watching this whole video series in one weekend. I'm watching all of it, and I'm sitting there, and she's talking to the girlfriends, and I'm crying. And through all of that, I'm looking for keys. Give me just a key. Give me 4 things that I can give to people that will help them to be whole. There's no one key. She just gives them a lot of homework to do. They have to do hours and hours and hours of homework. And they come and they say, I'm so excited with what I'm learning. And they're excited because they're starting to build relationship. They're starting to build fellowship with God. They're starting to get revelation of who God is. So what I'm starting to understand, Satan, the devil, has plans to systematically break us down. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he does is he comes to emotionally hurt us. Because when our heart is bleeding, we are crippled. And we cannot respond out of love when our heart is crippled. Thanks, Kate. We cannot love the way Jesus wants us to love, because in perfect love there's no fear. So if we are afraid to give, there's fear. It's not perfect love. And it's many times because of emotional wounds that we have. And these wounds comes to destroy us by wounding us. And emotional wounds leads to strongholds that the devil has against us. And strongholds is ways of thinking that is not in line with the word of God, but the word that God gave Eugene. So it's a different belief that I have about who I am. And many times people say to you, you're not good enough. That thing that you've did, you will never achieve to anything. There will be shame. There will be you'll feel betrayed, you'll feel guilt, you'll feel condemnation, you'll feel not good enough. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe you are not good, you're not good enough. And then she says this stronghold leads to isolation. Because of these strongholds, because of these wounds, I sit in a corner. I don't want anyone to discover the pain that I have, because when it comes out, I'm going to cry. And now, you know, sometimes for some people, deal with pain differently. For me, I want to talk about it. I can get it out there. Some people, and I discover it when it comes up like boiling water. It's like, and they surrender. And now the fire is there and they do this. I just don't want to face this. I don't want to speak about it. Lost my aid. And then this thing comes up and they can't deal with the pain that is coming, that's coming to the surface. And they start isolating themselves from believers. And Beth Moore said, if we don't seek freedom, we will seek shelter. If we don't seek freedom in Christ, we will seek shelter. We will hide away. And it will many times be people that will come to you, hey, it's okay to be there. It's fine. I'm also there. I also like cocaine. Let's you and me take cocaine together, because the world is very tough out there. So you surround yourself with people who have the same pain, who are not almost willing to walk out of that pain that we have. So if we don't seek freedom, we will seek shelter. And shelter is that place where we accept our presence. We accept it's fine for me to be here. This is how I'm born. This is how I'm made. My circumstances caused me to be here, and I'll stay here. It's fine. I'm upset. Leave me. This is where I'm going to be. I'm not going to deal with this. But this causes, and then she also said, people who are willing to shelter us will be willing to oppress and seduce us, because people want to control. And they like to tell others. We like to tell others what they must do. We all love it. It's great to have control, especially when it's your own children. It's great to have control over them. But the thing is, we like to control. So there's something in us, we feel safe when there's people under us. So sometimes we will the wrong people will be the ones that tell us what to do. It's not good for us to grow into that place. And this woundedness leads to offense and unforgiveness, and it brings us into bondage. And it gives a legal right for an orphan spirit to start ministering to us, to telling us that we are not good enough. Bondage is obstacles to freedom in Christ. Bondage is obstacles to freedom in Christ. Everything that prevents me from knowing God, from believing in God, from glorifying God, from being satisfied in Christ, in God, in the Holy Spirit, from experiencing His peace, that is bondage. And that's what Satan doesn't want us to have. He doesn't want us to have faith. He doesn't want us to know and to glorify God and to be satisfied in who God is. He wants us to think we need Him. We need the boss. We need those things. God says, I want to take control of your life. So how do we get free? We get free in God's truth, because we all have truth. And our truth is not necessarily the truth. Our truth is influenced by our circumstances. Our truth is influenced by our parents, what our parents spoke over us. Our truth is influenced about what our friends in school spoke over us. Our truth is influenced by people at work, by kids who bullied us. That's many times our truth. So our truth plus the devil's lies brings us into bondage. So he lies to us. He says, you're not good enough. You will never achieve to anything. But then our truth plus God's truth brings freedom in Christ. And God's truth always overrides our truth. And the more we get to know God, His truth changes who we are, and we start thinking differently. And the stronghold about who we are starts getting broken down. And we start thinking, sonship, I am in the name of Jesus. And we can go to the Himalayas and know that God, who created the heavens and earth, He will bring a 7.8 earthquake if He needs to, because He wants to bring the temples down. We know who our God is. We know who our God is because we know we have fellowship with Him. So what I've discovered is our freedom, our healing, our breakthrough is in knowing God, is in relationship with God, is in partnering with who God is. The key is partnership. God wants us to discover Him for ourselves, not to run after the different prophets and get prophetic words, to run after people, but to know Him, to have relationship with Him for ourselves. So we are created for relationship with God. If we are not being filled with worship and fellowship with God, we are going to try to fill those voids with stuff. And it can be work, it can be cycling, it can be music, it can be occultic things, it can be knowledge, it can be inner knowledge, it can be all these stuff that we can do because we want fulfillment, but we can never be satisfied truly if it's not in Jesus Christ. We will always be empty, there will always be a void in us if we don't come to that place where we can completely surrender to the purposes of God. And not ministry, not stuff that we do for God, but Jesus Christ Himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So all those things that we do is idolatry. All those things that we do that is not filling us with God, idolatry. It's like little Buddha statues, and we say, oh, before Buddha. It's the same thing. It's idolatry. And God says there's one God. But we need faith to have fellowship with God. And this is the one thing that I've now discovered over the next while. Angus Bachan said, God does not answer prayers, He answers faith. And I agree with that, because we can pray with a lot of doubt and God will not answer those prayers. But if we pray and we believe, God will give to us whatever we ask. So He says, when Jesus walks the earth, He says, do you believe? your son can be healed. He says, no. Yes, God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And he says, your faith has made you well. Every time he's asking for faith. Faith is the currency that we speak to God. We are saved by faith. It is Ephesians 2. We are saved by grace, by God's grace, God's love for us. He so loved the world. God's goodness and his love for us, his grace, his unmerited favor to us. But we are saved by faith in him, by trusting in God, by surrendering in God. It's not our own works. It's not our doing. This is not performance. It's not the things that I can do. Yes, I'm playing so well the violin and I can pray so much and I do so many hours of this. I do all these things for God. It's not those things. It's a gift. But the result of fellowship, of spending time with God, results in works. Because we are created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if this is not there, I want to tell you it's because that is not there. When that is there, you want to do this. You can't help yourself. You just want to go out. So faith is that thing that I really believe God is wanting us to understand, to ask for. We are saved by faith. Our healing is by faith. What God says about us, we believe by faith. We are being sanctified by faith. We are justified. Justified means God declares us sinless. God says we have no sin. It's by faith. We are being made holy in the image of God by faith, by relationship with God. So it's not the things that we do for God, but it's who we are in Christ, that we are made new in God. And, you know, for me, this happened last year with the relationship week, and I said, yes, I can't preach on marriage. Not me. Definitely not me. I'm not good at this. And oh, that started the journey in me. And I looked at Ephesians 5, and, you know, the wife must have respect for the husband, and the husband must love the wife, and the wife must submit, and the husband must lay down his life, and all these things. It didn't work for us. Because we were just fighting about many things. Jy het die skool goed gedoen, maar ek het die was goed gedoen. And so we're fighting about stuff the whole time. Law and rules without relationship will bring rebellion. Josh McDowell says that. Rules without relationship brings rebellion. And then I came to a point where it says the husband will leave his mother and father and he and his wife will become one. And it made sense to me. We are not two people. We are one. There's partnership. There's fellowship. There's relationship. And as we start discovering one another again, there's not stuff that we want to do. We do these things for one another. I wake up and bring coffee. And I try my best to really do that. And my wife responds so well to it. And it's amazing. But it's because of relationship. The same with God. We cannot do things for him to think he will be impressed. He's not impressed by it. He's impressed because you believe in him. Because you are his son and his your daughter. He's well pleased with you. We don't have to do things to come into his presence. If you want to do something, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I praise your name. That we can do. We exalt him. We come into his presence. Then he downloads in us who God is. So God is after a partnership with us. Only God can heal us. I want to ask you, for all of you, think of someone that you really, really love. Now, some of the older married people will probably, I hope it's not the person next to you. But remember when you first met that person, how in love you were with that person. How incredibly in love you were. Maybe you have a grandchild. How amazing that child is. How beautiful that child is. What do you think about all the time? That one that you love. Isn't it true? So when we are emotionally hurt and we feel rejected and we feel ashamed and people don't invite us to parties, but now suddenly there's this most beautiful girl and she likes you, you don't care what anyone thinks of you anymore. because you've met that one. And all you have is this person. And you're getting filled with this person. And what I'm seeing is that's how God wants us to love him. With all our mind, with all our heart. He wants us to emotionally love him. Because that is the place where God can heal us. It's not in stuff that we do. It's in relationship with God. So I want to take you to Mark 12. There's no shame, there's no rejection, there's no betrayal, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why don't we believe it? Why don't we trust the word? Why don't we have faith to say, but there's no condemnation, there's no shame? Why do we struggle with rejection? Why do we struggle with emotional hurt if this is what God is saying about us? Mark 12 says, 29, and this is, Jesus is referencing to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 6, 5. He said, the most important commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The Lord our God, Yahweh Elohim. And it says, Yahweh is Echad. That's my biki. Hebrews, I hope you're impressed. Yahweh is the redeemer characteristic of who God is. Yahweh. He came to redeem. He came to save. Elohim is the creator God. He created the heavens and the earth. But in Hebrew, El is God. Elohim is God's. So he says, I am the Lord, your gods. How does that work? Do we have many gods? Then he says, the Lord is one. But it's like a packet. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's in perfect relationship with himself. That is who God is. And God, when you do the doctrine of God, I've been doing it, you learn quite a lot about how the theologians see who God is. And they say that he's got incommunicable attributes and he's got communable attributes. The incommunable attributes says that God is omniscient. It means he knows everything. Does it occur to you that nothing occurs to God? Because he knows it already. God knows everything. God knows how Microsoft Office is working. He knows how to fix the bugs. He doesn't even have to think about the bugs. He knows it already. He knows how the platform is working. He knows the newest programming language that we haven't thought of. He already knows how it is. God doesn't learn new things. He knows it already. God's omniscient. He knows everything. God is very, very knowledgeable because he knows everything. Now I want to ask you, of everything that there is to know, how much do you know? Maybe if you're very vain, 10%? Maybe 1%? So how much is there that we don't know, but yet God knows everything? He knows everything. Nothing new. Nothing surprises God because he already knows it. God is omnipotent. Big words. I struggle with it even in Bible school, but it means he's all-powerful. God is an all-powerful God. In the Milky Way, the galaxy that we are, if we must count the stars and it takes us one second to count a star, it will take us 2,000 years to count all the stars in our galaxy. Yet there are so many galaxies, we cannot count them. God knows all of them because he created them. He made them. He's got words. He's got names for them. We don't have enough words in all the languages on the earth. If we use and a and the and therefore, if we use those words in all the languages and we give the stars names, we will never come to name all of them. If the earth is that big, the sun will be about that big, I think. There are stars that when you compare the sun to those stars, it's a dot. God said, let there be light, and those things came to be. He's all-powerful. Our problem is very insignificant to this all-powerful God that is wanting to have relationship with us. He is, God is omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere. he's in hell. God is everywhere. Hell doesn't even freak him out because he created it. God exists everywhere. God is self-existent. He wasn't created. He wasn't born. Jesus wasn't born. Jesus existed. He's always existed. They don't die. They eternity. God is eternity. We were born, but we will live into eternity. God was eternity that way as well. So time, God is outside of time. He is not bound by time. So for us, if time is a parade, and that's the beginning and this is the end, God looks at the whole parade at once. So he's present in the future, he's present today, and he's present in the past, all at the same time. This is the powerful God. And then when we look at Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, the Lord, talks about the Lordship of God, talks about Yahweh. Jesus means saves. Yeshua means saves, the Lord that saves. And Christos, Christ, is the anointed one, the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Lord all in one. He's one God that consists out of three people. And God says we must love him with all our heart. There's communicable attributes. The love of God. The love of God talks about his mercy, his grace, his patience, his compassion, his kindness. He's jealous for us. God loves us, but he's jealous for us. He doesn't want us to have other people, other things that takes the place of who he is. God is holy. His holiness talks about the righteousness, justice, the goodness, the faithfulness of God. God hates sin. He doesn't want us to sin because it brings us in bondage, and bondage destroys us. He loves us. He wants us to be outside of those things. There are other attributes that talks about the glory, the beauty, the blessedness of God. Yet God says, love me with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. All your heart is our emotions, what we think about, what we talk about. That little baby for Omar, when you wake up, you think of that little baby. When you're so in love with someone, before you go and sleep, that's what the person that you think of. It's all you think of. It's emotional. You want to cry because you're in the presence of that person. If you're not with that person, there's something emotionally that's getting stirred. God is wanting us to love him like that. But most of us, to be honest, we struggle in that. Because we respect God and we have honor for him, but we're not thinking of him all the time. But he's saying, love me with all your heart, with all your soul. And that soul is talking about the psyche, the life, the spirit of man. Your strength. It's the power and might with our mind. And our mind talks about to meditate, to study God. Our thinking is of God. Our understanding of God. Our process of information for God. The choices we make. We must love him with the choices that we make. Isn't that amazing? Amen. So do we love God like that? And I want to say to you, even Peter didn't love him like that. When Jesus said, do you, agape, love me? He says, Lord, you know, I love you like a brother. Feed my sheep. And he says, do you love me, agape? And he says, Lord, you know, I love you like a brother. And he says, but Simon, son of Peter, do you love me like a brother? And he says, Lord, you know. And in spite of him not loving God, he revealed himself and he restored him. So it's not what we can do once again. It's just that place where we realize, yes, God, I don't even love you that way, but I'm coming to you because this mighty, powerful God really loves us. This God that created all these things, that made all these things, God that reveals him through all his names, saying, I'm the God that heals. I'm the God that delivers. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm your banner. I'm the Lord God Almighty. He loves us. And it says, if you can just go to the next scripture, we love because he first loved us. And our response can just be, God, I love you too. I love you too. Because we understand how he loves us. He loves, God loves us. Respond in faith. God, thank you that you love me. And sometimes we must just speak it. Say, God, yes, I love you, Lord. I love you. That our revelation of who God is can grow into that place. But if we walk in the light. And this is where I'm wanting to, this is the scripture that really spoke to me about the fellowship and the of what God is saying. If we walk in the light, the outflow will be that we have fellowship with one another. And what I'm seeing is, because I think we are so busy with the things of the world, and Brian said it. He said, we keep ourselves so busy, and there's so many things that is so important, and it's the right things, but we are not busy with the most important thing, that is, which is God. The outflow is that we're not doing the things that we should be doing anymore, because we are not connected with Him anymore. So 1 John says, if we, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. God wants to give us joy. He wants us to be joyful, to be happy. Yes, because I understand what He's done. That's His heart. If we are filled with Him, we will be happy. If we surrendered with Him, our healing, all of that is in that place of fellowship, of partnering with God. Our joy will be complete. He says, this is the message that we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. We don't have to worry too much about what the devil and all the dark things are doing, because where God is, there is light. And the darkness moves. There's no darkness. It just goes away. If we say we have fellowship with Him, with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So if we are with God, if we spend time with Him, there will not be darkness. So if there's dark things that we are in, the source, we are being cut off from the source somewhere. We must ask God, I want more of You, God. Help me in the area. And then He says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. The first commandment, that you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And another one. And then the second is that you will love one another as yourself. We cannot love one another if we don't love God with all we have. So we're struggling to do this because this is absent. And God is not saying do this. He's saying come to Me. Out of that will flow that. So that now we come, no, this law, but it's not law, it's life. God is life. And out of Him will flow rivers of living water. So I want to ask you to not cut off yourself from the light. And I'm going to just share with you, I think it's sometimes very difficult, especially when you have little children, to be cut off, to be busy with stuff and not being with God, who God is. And not the things that we think we must do, but to really have time with God, to have fellowship with God, to partner with God in everything that we do. So Hebrews 10 says, I've heard one or two leaders, people who have been in the church for a long time, spoke, and they said to me, you know, I don't feel loved in this church. I feel separated. And, you know, for me, I realized there's something here that many people experience, that you experience that you are not loved in the house of God. And it causes you to want to withdraw yourself because you're not feeling welcome and loved. But there's a place for a leader, a person who has been walking with God, to overcome that in faith and to be that, to love. So for the leaders, this is not for people who've not been saved or were new, but for the leaders, there's really a place where when we connect with God, the outflow will be love that gives. Because the love of the world wants to receive. It's a love that I want to feel good. But the love of God is a love that gives. It's a love that wants and that goes and takes. There's action to that love. But Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn. that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, this great priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So God is saying, draw near to me with confidence, full assurance of faith. This is who I am. This is what I say about you. This is how much I love you. I am your Father. Draw near to me from that place. It's a confidence that I can come to the Father. Then in that place is where God cleanses us from all the stuff that is bad in our lives. So don't stop your poison and then try to go to God, because you'll never be able to do it. Whatever it is, you might be LSD, heroin, cocaine, don't stop it. But come to God. He will fix it. We cannot stop our sin. It's impossible. It's only Jesus that can does it, that does it. So we must come to him. And in that place, God will come and he will start cleansing us and purifying us. And, you know, for me, what I'm understanding is that we must learn to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, for the moms with the little babies, it's impossible at this stage. And I want to say to you, even if it's 1 minute, just go, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Just thank you for what you've done. Thank you for my baby. Thank you, Lord. And there's a place where you pray in the spirit with your baby and you sing a song. You will not be able to stand up at 5 o'clock, because most of you probably woke up at 3 o'clock and you went to bed at 5 o'clock. Now to do quiet time, it's not your season. But many of us have the opportunity to spend time with God, to read the word, to pray, to come into God's presence, as Brian said, to bring worship, just to surrender and close yourself off and into the place of worship and praise before God, and allow God to speak to you. Just in that place where I have fellowship with God and I read the word and ask God, what is the implication of this word to me? What must I change? To close my eyes and hear, God, what are you saying to me? And just to be quiet, to meditate on the word of God, to grow. And in that place, enter into the presence of God. That is the place that I really believe God is wanting us to come to practice the presence of God. Even when we go to work, we pray. We can pray in the spirit of you, pray, we exalt God. And if you don't know what to pray, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for my wife, Lord. Thank you for my children, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, I praise your name, Lord. I want to exalt you in this place, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That is the key. We enter into his presence, into the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We don't have to pray heavy prayers. We can just thank God for what he has done. There's lots that we can thank him for. Now, God wants relationship with us. He wants fellowship. He wants fellowship with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to tell us how impressed he is with us. He wants to say to you, well done. You're doing well. I'm proud of you. I love you. You're doing so well. You're good. You're doing so well as a mom. You're amazing. Don't listen to the lies that Satan is telling you. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I love you. You're doing well. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. That's what God speaks. But we hear the lies because we're not coming to him. So we're listening to the lies and it brings strongholds into our minds. So then Hebrews 23 says, let us hold the confession of our hope without wavering. We don't doubt who God is, because he's our hope. For he had promised, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful even if we are faithless, because he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Well done, brother. I saw that. You're doing well. Why don't you come and help me? Let's go and do something. And this is what's so amazing about cell group. We come together in cells that we can exactly stir up one another to love and to good works and to pray. And when we're taking strain, we can pray for one another and we can do things. We're accountable to one another. We can stir one another up. And then it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Don't neglect the source. The source is cell group. The source is church. That's the source. Part of your quiet time. But when you cut yourself off from the source, you're going to go dry. And the Bible says, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more, as you see the day drawing near, the end times are here. I preach a sermon saying God will once more shake the nations. We send a team to Himalayas, and Nepal gets a earthquake that destroys all the temples in Nepal. They just leave, and God sends another earthquake. I will shake the nations. The days are near. Encourage one another, because we're getting dark, we're getting hard, we're getting, and we say, no, you're doing well. Let's pray for you. Come, guys. I see Albert is tired. We must pray for him. We must encourage him. Let's go to his house. They don't have food. Let's take his baby's tired. We encourage one another. Let's do good works. That's why we come together in smaller groups, that we can pray and encourage one another, that we can grow and we can learn in that place where we grow. And I want to ask the cell leaders to set the example. If you're a cell leader and you come to church 1 in 6 weeks, the example that you give is not good. And that impartation will go into your cell. And your cell will eventually not come to church anymore, and because you are not connected to the source anymore. And because you are not connected, they will get tired. Because you are not strong. The living water is not flowing from inside of you. When the living water is here and it's gushing out, they want the living water. They want more. They want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, because I'm Spirit-filled. The Spirit of God is upon me. I want more of that. And that comes because I spend time with God. I pray. I worship before God. I get filled. I don't come to God because I want stuff. I come to God because I want to be with Him. Because He's amazing. God is amazing. And that place changes lives. It changes lives. So when your cell group doesn't want to come to cell, it's a sign that you're not spending time with God. You are not filled with the Spirit of God. So this is just for the cell leaders. This is not for the rest of you. Don't neglect yourself from coming to the groups. There are some people. I was so blessed by someone who's a friend of ours. We met. Our children is in the same school. We met. They're coming to our church. And this person said to me, you know, the other night, only 3 people could come. And I said to them, only 2 could come. Come to my house. Because Sal was going to be at her house. She's not the cell leader. And she said, we were so encouraged. And I loved it. And it was so great. And it was so amazing. It was amazing. There's something new with new people. And they come into the presence. The first time I came to a show for Sal, Paul Creer was the president of Transvaal. And he was my cell leader. I'm lying a little bit. There's another Paul Creer. And Paul Creer asked if there's any needs. And I said, yes, you can pray for me. My blood pressure is 140 something over 96, 97. That's my blood pressure. So they prayed for me. And I said, thank you. I didn't feel like the Holy Spirit or light, or I didn't fall over. The next day I went to my mom. I said, because she had one of those things that you measure blood pressure with. I don't know what the name is. They put 120 over 80. Praise God. I was very excited because there was life. I was a cell leader, and Lynette and I won a prize. I shared it, and we won 20,000 rand because we wanted to go on a holiday, and we didn't have the money. So I said to Lynette, let's pray. If God wants to give us a holiday, then He will provide for it. So we prayed. My wife entered a competition, and we won. This was 8 years ago, a 20,000 rand check, this big. Massive check. Now she's standing there in a magazine with this check. We put another 6,000 worth it, and we go on honeymoon to Mozambique. In honeymoon, in Mozambique, a few things happened. This lady came to us. She asked us to pray for us. The next moment, all these creatures came into our room and it was chaos. And we heard drums and we heard like far off, like hectic, demonic stuff. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? But that was like one incident. But the rest, I died 3 times a day. I saw a tortoise that big. I saw, you know, that where you see that fish and you go in and it opens up to you like that. 40 meters visibility. It's amazing. We dived about 35 meters. It was awesome. It was just amazing. God just came through for us. We wanted to get pregnant. It didn't happen for us. So we come home. Now the next month, nothing happens. And there's nothing as bad. When you want to get pregnant, and you're not getting pregnant. You're starting, there's something worrying in you. My Saunders, van die verlede, it's haunting me. It's all I, goed wat ek gedoen het op universiteit. Now I'm getting really worried. God, what's happening? One night, one couple come to our cell. And they say to us, listen, do you mind if we speak? I said, go speak. And they said, we just feel that you guys want to get pregnant, but we wouldn't say anything because we were too shy to say to the brothers, look, we're struggling with something. But we feel you wanting to get pregnant, and we just feel God saying we must pray for you tonight. Can we pray for you? He said, yes. So they prayed for us the next month. Lynette was pregnant with Daniel. This cell group, 2 people came. We didn't stop cell because 2 people came. I had a Daniel was born, I was a cell leader. Christian was born, I had a cell leader. I just continued on. I just continued because there was something, the fellowship of believers, that's important. God's people. I wanted to be where God's people was. Do not neglect the fellowship of believers, but encourage one another. And then Hebrews 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Our confidence in God, our faith in God has a great reward. God is going to reward us according to our obedience to the things that He has called us for. He's not going to punish us. He's going to reward us for the things. And He says, for you have need of endurance. You have need for endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. We need endurance to complete the will of God. It's tough. It's tough. It's easy to stay at home. It's easy because my children are tired. It's easy to stay at home. It's easy not to go to cell. It's easy. It's easy not to read the Bible anymore, to sleep late. Those things are easy. But to do the will of God, we need endurance to do the will of God, so that we can receive what is promised from Him. Endurance means partnership with God. Not the things that I do, it's spending time with God. He gives us the power to do what we should do. If that's not there, there will be no endurance and you will fall away. And you will fall away. And the next scripture says, verse 37, for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous shall live by faith. My righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what God says. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. But of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We don't shrink back. We stand. And we stand. And we stand in faith. We stand in faith and we fight the good fight of faith and we trust God and we believe in God and we spend time with God, even if it's just 1 minute for that mom. And we say, we go to that mommy group and you say, girlfriend, I'm taking strain here. Pray for me. And the girlfriends lay hands on you and they pray for you and they speak life over you because there's power. And that one scripture, I missed something. It says, when we have fellowship, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and then God.